Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
A charitable organisation is looking to help families that are going hungry because ethnically diverse food is not always available at local food banks. Carol Karim is from the Karim Foundation and he joins us on the line this morning. Good morning to you, Carol.
Morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on the line. We know that many people from all backgrounds really are uncomfortable with visiting food banks, but I think you've found that for some communities, the food that they need or would be familiar with simply isn't available.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I mean, that was the reason for the existence of the Karim Foundation. Last March, during the first lockdown, we helped the Cambridge City Food Bank and raised a significant amount of funds for them with the generosity of the members of the public. But one of the things we realised, especially during the month of Ramadan, today's actually the first day of Ramadan, and last year we realised that there were many ethnic minorities, many of them Muslim, but many of them not, who were actually suffering in silence, that didn't go to food banks, didn't access the services that were available in the city. They were reluctant to do so for a variety of reasons. And what we tried to do then was try to increase the food diversity across the city by providing more diverse food for the diversity of Cambridge, because the makeup that we have in Cambridge is actually very diverse.
Yeah. So the problems here, is this down to religion or simply what the families here have grown up with, be it in this country or overseas?
Well, if you go to one of the superstores right now and you have a look at a food basket, what's in there? You've got tinned fruit, you've got juice, you've got pasta, you've got tomatoes. So many ethnic minorities, whatever background they're from, they could be Asia, Africa, they could be Chinese, they could be Eastern European. There isn't food there that they would normally want. So that could be one reason why they don't go to a food bank. And the others, there could be other complex reasons, such as people not wanting to go there because of pride or because of family circumstances or because of not having the anonymity by going to food banks, especially when the community is quite small and people know each other very well. And therefore, people suffer in silence. So we identified dozens of people last year, and we've helped over 450 people, 100 households already, where people have just suffered in silence and City Council and other providers didn't actually know that these people existed.
It's quite a depressing thought, actually. It's really eye-opening. I mean, I have to confess, I look in the food banks and I think to myself, oh yeah, tins of tomatoes, pasta, that kind of thing, you know, that will work nicely. I mean, the fact that you're saying that even the local food banks, I mean, they produce a list sometimes, don't they, along with the City Council, but those items have been missing. How have you worked with the local stores to kind of get this right, more balanced even?
Well, Lucy, the first thing you do is work with the Cambridge City Food Bank. It's a system that's set up that's been there for years, and they do a fantastic job. There's no criticism on it in which part. They've got the logistics to be able to distribute food. The Fairbuy shop, people are more likely to go to a food hub or a shop rather than the food bank. So we've worked with them, and I think they do a brilliant job. I think it's our job to try and do the diversity. So we've worked with the Cambridge Ethnic Community Forum, which is an umbrella organisation. And people are vetted, and then they come to us, and then we provide the food using a local store in Cambridge, Alameen on Mill Road, but we've diversified that now.
Yeah.
And then from the point of contact to the point of delivery of that food to those individuals and families, we can do that within 24 hours or 48 hours.
Carol, do you think, I wonder if part of the problem here is those people who are running the food bank simply aren't diverse enough themselves. They're all white and middle class, like I am.
I mean, there could be an element of that. I think we have diversity across the city. We have almost 100 nationalities across the city, but that doesn't mean that you have diversity across those services. But what they do is absolutely fantastic. I think they have tried to provide ethnically diverse food, but people don't come. So if people don't go to their services, then there could be an inference or an implication then there's not a problem.
Yes. And I suppose the problem is if they get the food in and it's not being taken up, then that in itself is a problem because the food absolutely is going to waste at that point.
Absolutely. And we know that quite well because our foundation is called the Carrion Foundation, even though my name's Carrion, it's not named after me. It's named after my late father that came in the 50s in Cambridge. He's one of the first South Asians to come here. And then my mother came in 63. So we know the Muslim Bangladeshi ethnic minority community very well because we've been here for 60 years. And we have identified people that will not come forward, that are absolutely desperate. And they're worried about anonymity. I think that could be one reason. We found a way around that. And the way around that is that the council refer them to us. We provide the food to the council and then they deliver it. We don't even know who we're delivering it to, but the individuals and families have been.
So effectively, these deliveries are almost being made anonymously. So that sort of, by the sounds of things, gets over a key factor in those people not attending the food banks.
It absolutely is. I think we're not going anywhere. We're a registered charity. We exist because of the generosity of the public. So we became a crowdfunder. We realised that there were problems. We work with all the stakeholders in the city now. And it's that reluctance to come forward, but we need to provide choice. So one of the things that we've done is you'll start seeing some posters in a Chinese store, an African store, two Asian stores as well. And what we really want to do is push that across the cities. So instead of having food baskets in the major supermarkets, we want to have them nearly at all local independent stores if we can do that across the city. So it's a bit of a call of action maybe to the people that are listening, is that if you know of any food stores, maybe you can ask them, you know, wouldn't it be good to have a basket? So there's posters going out and we're talking to some of the food stores about how we do that, because I think we want to champion the diversity of food across the whole city.
Fantastic. So, as you mentioned, we are now into the beginning of Ramadan. You've launched an appeal to raise funds for local families in need of support as well. Tell us a little bit about the appeal and who in particular you're trying to help.
Well, yes, it's the holy month of Ramadan. So part of the things that we do, there's a spiritual aspect as well. It's about generosity. It's about charity as well. So this time last year, we raised a significant amount of funds in order to help those people in the community. So we're doing that again. Mm-hmm. People are very generous during the month of Ramadan. So this is day one. So I'm fasting actually today. So I'll be making my fast around 8 o'clock this evening. And people are very generous. It doesn't have to be Muslims. We get donations from people of faith or no faith, because we're helping everyone, irrespective of their background. And it sort of spearheads our campaign, really, for the whole year, where during the month of Ramadan, we can then start interacting with lots of different people and organisations. It's not just about donating. It's also about going out there and actually showing your generosity. And we're looking for people to help us with the foundation. And hopefully people will understand the mission that we're doing in order to try and provide food for people who wouldn't normally come forward, who are very reluctant. Mm. If they realise that we're here and we're sort of part of the furniture, then they're more reluctant. They're less reluctant to come forward and they may feel more comfortable. One of the things that's really important, Julia and Lucy, is it's not just about food issues or food poverty or fuel poverty. One of the things that our partners have mentioned is that when you intervene, there are other many complex needs that those families require that hadn't previously been identified.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. I think sometimes if somebody is going hungry, there's a host of other issues we learnt on this show just before Christmas. You know, if you can't afford to feed yourself, there's a reasonable chance you can't afford to heat your house either, which is and so many other issues. Well, Cal, thank you very much for coming on and telling us about the work that the Karim Foundation is doing. If somebody wants to get in touch, how do they do so? Is a website perhaps you can give us the details of?
Yes, it's Karim Foundation, K-A-R-I-M foundation.co.uk. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. We're on social media. You'll find us everywhere. And it should be very easy. You can just put us in the search engine and you'll find the appeal. And you'll also find news stories of other things that we've done. For example, we've provided 200 clothes and footwear to the winter comfort for homeless as well. So there's other things that we're also doing, but this is really a push to to try and get donations in for food poverty and the diversity of food that we want to purchase mostly within the city.
That's great. Well, look, Cal, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very well done on the work that you and the foundation are doing as well. That's Cal Karim from the Karim Foundation taking us to 19 minutes before 9.